Hey everybody, it's Humphreys. Welcome to the Fladdy Longer podcast. We hope by the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Enjoy.
Good morning again. Thank you so much for joining us with online church here at Flood Church. This corona stuff is definitely a roller coaster. Yeah, just going from months of online church, you know, back to being able to meet in person last week. Thank you, you know, for those of you who joined us last week. We had a little over 100 people, you know, brave the corona and come out. And we were even talking about this week, possibly the government has allowed churches to meet as long as they meet in open grounds. So we even, you know, tried to figure out if we could make it work to meet right outside of the church. That would have been a first for me to have church, but just meet right outside and leave the church empty, go into the world on a Sunday morning like that. That would have been unique. But this is still a first for me to be preaching to a mostly empty church. You know, just the sound team and the worship team. And my lovely wife, of course, is here. My wife always loves when I get an opportunity to preach here at Flood because usually on, you know, Friday and Saturday, I'm very busy around the house. I'm doing lots of things. I'm cleaning things and I'm, you know, painting things and I'm fixing things. And I tell her, well, it helps me focus on what I'm going to say. You know, when I'm doing these tasks, I can be thinking. But the real reason is I'm just procrastinating. Yeah, just not wanting to sit down and, you know, put together the outline. So today, this morning, we're going to be speaking about the topic of faith. And we're actually entering into a new series that is called Faith Is. So we're talking about, you know, what faith is. This week's theme is faith is not what you see, but having confidence in the one who sees better. So faith is not what you see, but having confidence in the one who sees better. I just want to take a minute or two, and actually last time I had an opportunity to preach, I preached out of Nehemiah, and there was one thing that I skipped in my outline on accident. Normally, you know, that happens. If you've preached before, you know, you don't always say everything you always plan to say. Normally, I just say, okay, that was something that the Lord didn't want me to say, and so that's totally fine. But in between that time of preaching and now, the Lord has woken me up in the middle of the night three different times with this one thing in my head, just going through my head, like preaching, you know, he was just preaching it to me. And so I really felt like he was just laying it on me to say, no, this is something I really wanted you to say. So I'm just going to take a minute and, you know, go a flash in the past, if that's all right. Back to Nehemiah. I was preaching out of Nehemiah chapter 5, and the specific point is from verses 14 to 19. So if you want to, you know, read, you don't have to turn there. If you want to, go for it. But, you know, I would encourage you just to read it later. But yeah, Nehemiah is just talking about how he never lorded his position of being the governor over the people. And so he specifically says that for 12 years, he never took what was designated for him. And his officials also never took their food allowance that they rightfully were entitled to. And then he compares himself to all the other governors that had ruled and how they put these heavy and oppressive demands on the people to provide these different things for them. And another fascinating thing was the way that he says that he himself participated in the manual labor. He went and built the wall himself. He didn't just say, no, that's a job that's too low for me. You know, other people that are not as powerful and amazing as me will do those jobs. He entered in and got his hands dirty. That was incredible to me. And then just lastly, he even goes on to say that he paid out of his own pocket to feed his 150 officials, the Jewish officials. And not only that, but any visitors that came from other lands to see the work that they were doing in restoring the ruins of Jerusalem, he would pay to feed them, you know, to house them out of his own pocket. And so yeah, my main point is just how beautiful it is. You know, some people say that No godly person could ever be in politics because of how dirty they are. You know, like not you know, how dirty politics are. But you know, the reality is our hearts are dirty apart from Jesus. You know, we have greed in our hearts. We have a hunger for power to advance our own kingdom, our own glory, apart from submitting and humbling ourselves to the glory of Jesus and living to glorify his name. And so, you know, it's not about just anyone who's in politics will automatically just steal, but it's about, you know, what's in our hearts and how Nehemiah specifically says, because I feared God, I did these things and I didn't do these things. And so, you know, just how beautiful it is that someone can step into a position of power, like a position of politics, and not be dirty. They can clean up politics because of their fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Cool. All right. I feel relieved. I've been holding that responsibility of saying that for a few months now. So, yeah, let's just jump on. Last week was really great. Wilson, you know, preached a wonderful message, and just out of a powerful passage in 2 Kings chapter 5, there's one point from his message that I believe connects to our message today. So I just wanted to very briefly summarize, you know, a few of the things he said, and then just kind of carry it into this week. So yeah, in 2 Kings chapter 5, we just see this young servant girl that had actually been taken as a captive by Naaman during battle, and she's serving Naaman and his household. But instead of becoming, you know, bitter and angry and resentful because of being taken from her homelands, miraculously, she's still caring for and loving Naaman to the point where he has leprosy and she wants him to be better. She says, go to this prophet in my homeland. So that's beautiful to me. Then we see Elisha, an example of an incredibly humble prophet. You know, when Naaman does come to him, even Naaman is expecting him to come out and wave his hand and pray this elaborate prayer and make this big show, you know, out of how, you know, amazing, like, God can move through him. And he doesn't even go out to meet him. He sends a servant and says, yeah, go tell Naaman to do these things, you know, go wash himself, and then he'll be healed. So we see this amazing example of a humble prophet of God. Then one other thing that we see is Elisha not wanting to exploit this anointing that God has given him just to profit himself and make himself rich. Wilson, you know, talked about how Naaman brought millions and millions of, I think he said even U.S. dollars, like hundreds of pounds. I think it was 750 pounds of silver to give to Naaman just to heal him. And he says, nope, don't give me a single pound or kg of silver. Take it all back home with you. Man, how crazy is that? What an incredible example of a prophet of God from the Old Testament. And then just lastly, we see Elisha's servant, Gehazi, chasing after Naaman once he's out of sight so that Elisha can't see that he's like, oh yeah, Elisha changed his mind. Just give us maybe 150 pounds and some pairs of clothes, because he wanted to benefit himself and profit himself. Because he was like, how can Elisha send all this money away out of our grasp? And so just this one point that I believe carries on to this week is when Gehazi comes back, Elisha speaks to him and says, where have you been? He's like, oh, nowhere. I didn't go anywhere. What are you talking about? And Elijah says this specifically. He says, was not my spirit with you when Naaman got off of his horse? And so somehow, even though physically Elisha was not present and he didn't see with his physical eyes, somehow he saw what was happening in the spirit, in the spiritual realm. He saw what was happening and he was present with what was happening there. And of course he says, you know, Gehazi, you, this leprosy will cling to you and your descendants. So our verse, you know, for this week in the new Faith Is series comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It's a very short verse. I wish you were all here in person so I could tell you to stand, just to say that our verse is, we live by faith and not by sight. And then you could be seated. So, yeah, we live by faith and not by sight. One of my favorite memes of all time, it's definitely one of my top three favorites, is a picture of a pastor just passionately, like, you know, screaming and preaching. And you know, sometimes in church, the pastor will tell, tell you to turn to your neighbor. I think it more commonly happens in the, the Pentecostal and the charismatic churches. They'll say, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's talking to you, Or turn to your neighbor and give him a high five, So this meme, it says, turn to your neighbor. This picture of this pastor preaching passionately. It says, turn to your neighbor, poke him in the eye, and say, we live by faith and not by sight. So, yeah, instantly when I saw, that this week's, verse, I thought of that meme. So, firstly, I have three main points this morning. Firstly, I think a lot of people, when we think of living by faith, we think that it's a limitation. We think that it's a restriction. We're not living by sight. So our physical sight, it's like we have to just disregard that and ignore that. And we get kind of a demotion. It's like, we have to try to live by this mysterious, invisible faith, And our sight has no value. But I believe that it's actually a promotion. Faith is not about seeing less, but faith is about seeing more. It's about being able to physically see, being able to physically sense, hear, smell, feel, but then also, in addition to being able to see, we can spiritually see. We can sense things and hear things from God spiritually, in a spiritual way. And so it's not about seeing less or perceiving less. It's about seeing more. We live by faith, not by sight, not just by sight, but we live by faith. We get to see things that people who do not have faith cannot see. And so don't think of this as a restriction. It's an incredible privilege to be able to live by faith and not by sight. Two or three weeks ago, it was a Wednesday. Every Wednesday I come from Ponella. We stay in Ponella and we do some shopping and then we go back. I had taken this trip alone. Normally, my wife will come with me, but she is in her third trimester of pregnancy, and so she's, relaxing a little more than usual now, and being able to focus on the health of the baby and her own health. So on my way home, I was alone. I was just entering into Mponella. It was about 8 p.m., a little after 8 p.m., and I was just driving, and I randomly looked over to my left side, and I saw, a couple shops, and there was one particular shop that was just beaten up. It had, the paint had a bunch of chips on it, and I just felt in my spirit this voice that says, go, I have someone I want you to talk to in that shop. So I quickly looked straight ahead, and I kept driving, and I was like, maybe that was just my own thoughts, I don't know if that was God. And I kind of debated back and forth. It's like, man, it's late, I've been in town all day, I just want to get home. But I was like, what if I go, and yeah, what if there's no one there, what if I don't find the person, just all those things. So I'm finally, a minute or two later, I decide, okay, I'll turn around. So I go turn around in the filling station, I go back, I get out of my car, like, here we go. So I enter in. It turns out to be a local bar. And, there's four or five guys that are pretty heavily drunk. So I'm like, oh, who am I supposed to talk to here? So I sit down, and the owner of the bar comes over to me. Again, it's a pretty small place. It's not like a well-established place. And so the guy who is actually, the owner and selling, he called it Kinshasu, I think. Is that right? Kinshasu? Like some type of local. Yeah, he comes over and he's really friendly. He's really nice. He's like, here, have some. I'm like, no, nothing. He's like, I don't drink. But, I just wanted just to come in and talk with someone here. He's like, oh, cool, yeah, let's talk. So we sit down. And throughout the course of the conversation, he opens up to me. And he just says that him and his wife, they've been trying to have a baby for years. And she's gotten pregnant three times. And every time the baby's died. And he's explaining to me how he feels like he's cursed and they'll never be able to have kids. And it's just really hard for him to share, personally what's going on in his life. And so I said, I told him the story. I was driving. I feel like the Spirit of God led me here. I think that he told me to speak to you specifically. And I just want you to know that God sees you. He sees the suffering that you've been going through. He loves you, and he sent me here to encourage you and pray for you. My Jesus has the ability, he has the power to break curses off of you. He has the ability to heal you of barrenness, and I want to pray for you. So he says, I want to become a Christian. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to start praying that he'll provide a different way for me to make money so that I can leave this behind. And so it was just so beautiful to me, you know, living by faith and not by sight. I didn't see the person in that shop, but I was able to see, you know, from the Lord, him saying there's someone there. I didn't see who it was, so I was able to see more than my physical eyes could see when I looked in that shop because of living by faith. So the second point is faith is about trusting God even when we can't see everything. We can see more. It's not about seeing less, but we can't see everything. Faith is about trusting God when we can't see everything and believing that he is the one that can see everything. When he calls us to do something, we can be obedient even if we don't exactly understand all of the details. Whew. I love, you know, that song. It just talks about how God's words are a lamp at our feet, you know, a light unto our path. A lamp doesn't produce a lot of light, typically, you know, especially, you know, what the context of that is probably a small, like, candle, a lamp at our feet, just showing us a tiny bit. More often than not, I find myself, maybe you probably also find yourself just, like, wanting to see, you know, you want a big, like, 500-watt floodlight lighting everything up ahead of you. You don't want Jesus to say, hey, go in this direction. You're like, I can't see anything in that direction, you know? And so I think we find ourselves trying to focus in the dark. Like, I just want to see a little bit further instead of allowing us to focus on the thing that God has revealed to us. And we end up kicking stones. Ow, oh my gosh, God, why'd you tell me to go this way? I'm just hurting myself. It's like, no. If you would just focus on what God is wanting and choosing to reveal to you and wanting you to focus on, just right here. I'm a lamp right at your feet. My words are a lamp at your feet. You know, God is intentional. He has a purpose with specifically revealing specific things to us and choosing not to reveal other things to us. And it's out of love. And so much of the time we try to focus on things and we try to see things that God is like, I don't want you to see that yet. I want you to have faith and focus on what I'm showing you. I think in living by faith, there's these two amazing benefits that it can help. It can help us live in the moment, be present where we are, and not get lost in things that we don't know about yet, we don't see yet. And it can help a lot of anxiety drop off of our shoulders if we're present here in the moment and we're not trying to focus on things that we can't see and that we're not meant to see. It can help anxiety fall off of us, and we can be present in the moment. We can be present with our family. We can be present with our friends. Whew. Those are two beautiful things that living by faith and not by sight allows us to do. Wow, amen. The third point, faith is about hoping in what is ahead, even though we can't see it. Faith is very closely linked to hope. You may know the verse, Hebrews 11, the first verse it just says, faith is being certain of what is hoped for and sure of what is unseen. And so faith is very closely linked to hope. Even though we can't see what is ahead, we can still hope in it while we're focusing here. Woo, it's coming. I know it's up ahead. I can't see it yet, but I'm right here. But I can still hope. It doesn't mean you just have to completely ignore what's ahead. God makes promises to us, and we can put our hope in those promises that they will come. As I was reading the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, I was very confused. So I just want to briefly summarize verse 1. It talks about how we live in a tent, and the tent is referring to our physical bodies right now. And that tent will one day be destroyed. But God has an eternal house. It calls it a house, a heavenly dwelling that he has prepared for us, that is waiting for us. And so it seems like in this context, a tent referring to our physical bodies here on earth and a house referring to a heavenly dwelling is some type of body that we get. We leave this tent that's going to be destroyed and we dwell in another type of body, a better body. A tent is obviously not as nice as a house. So we get a house in heaven that our soul gets to dwell in heaven. And it's a promotion again. It's an upgrade. You know, our heavenly dwelling is going to be better than this earthly body. And then verse 2, it talks about how we groan We want to be clothed with this heavenly house that's waiting for us. Then verse 4, it talks about how this mortality, our lives here, our tent, is going to be swallowed up by life. I thought that was interesting. It's not going to be swallowed up by death. It's going to be swallowed up, engulfed, consumed by life as we get this new heavenly house. Verse 5, God has made us for this purpose. This is the purpose that God has made us for. And he has given us the Spirit as a deposit for what is to come. So in this tent, he's placed his presence in the form of the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can have a small taste of what is to come. He's placed his Spirit in us as a deposit for what is to come. Then verse 6, as long as we are at home in our bodies, we are away from the Lord. What does this have to do with faith? I was lost. I had to read it a few times. What does this have to do with faith? Our tents are being destroyed, verse 1. Also verse 1, we have a heavenly house that's waiting for us. Verse 2, we're groaning. We're longing to be clothed with this heavenly house. Verse 4, what is mortal is going to be swallowed up by life. Verse 5, God has made us for this purpose, and he's given us his Spirit as a deposit for what is to come. Verse 6, as long as we are at home here in our bodies, we're away from the Lord. Verse 7, live by faith and not by sight. Live by faith and not by sight. Jesus, you know, in the New Testament, after he's been resurrected, we see him interacting in a body, physically. After he was dead, he's resurrected in a physical body. Some people say this is a new and improved body. This is a house. We see him doing things like being able to touch. He tells Thomas, touch my hands. I still have my scars here in this new resurrected body. We see him eating with his disciples. As they're fishing, they call him. They eat together, so he's still able to eat physically. But we see him doing two other things. As the disciples are locked away in this room, somehow he appears in the room with them. We don't really know if he walked through the door, if he has this ability to walk through physical things with his new body, or if he's able to teleport into this room with them. But somehow, in this new resurrected physical body, he was able to appear, enter into this locked room with his disciples. We also see him ascending into heaven. We see him levitating and flying up to heaven in his new body. I don't know about you, but ever since I was a very young child, I've always wanted to fly. Always. Man, I just wish I could fly. That would be sweet. So, maybe faith can be involved in this process of hoping for what is ahead. Maybe one day, when I get to heaven, God is going to come and say, here's your new physical body. Here's your new resurrected earthly dwelling house. Are you ready to fly? I'm hoping. How amazing would that be? So yeah, we get to have faith. We get to have hope in what is ahead. We get to live by this faith. We get to live by it every day. It's not just a thought we think about from time to time. It impacts every single decision that we make, every single step that we make in our lives is as a result of living by this faith and not living by sight, not just living by what we see. So when we place, you know, our faith in Jesus, I invite you to place your faith in Jesus if you have not. Even if you have, I just invite you to stir up this passion. Ask God to stir up this hunger for you. God, help me to just place my faith more and more in you. Help me to live by faith in whatever way I might not be living by faith, in whatever way I might be trying to live by sight. Help me to leave that behind. Help me to live by faith, Jesus. When you live by faith, when you put your faith in Jesus, we can look at our physical bodies and say, there's something better than this. When we make mistakes, when we fail, when we sin, we can say, there's something better than this waiting for me. Jesus is going to redeem me 100%. He's redeemed me when I put my faith in him. He is presently and currently redeeming me. But one day, he is going to fully redeem me and give me a completely brand new earthly dwelling place that is totally free from sin. Let me just end with this one verse. Paul, in Romans chapter 7, he says, I do exactly what I know that I shouldn't do, and I don't do the very things that I know that I should do. Then he specifically says, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the Flood Lilonge podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at floodchurch.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Flood Lilonge YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.